Pakistan and India clash. Palestinian teenagers sacrifice themselves as human bombs to kill Israeli children, while Israel's tanks rumble through the streets. American troops continue to battle Arab extremists. And on the home front, things aren't much better. Violent crime continues to plague U.S. cities, and cases of domestic abuse wreck many families. Is there any hope of peace on this earth? These are the headlines. In a moment, we're going to look at the important news behind the headlines.
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject.
The history of mankind is measured by its wars. The first war between human beings was a simple affair by today's standards. One brother, Cain, beat his brother Abel to death over religious jealousy. It wasn't long before human beings discovered more efficient ways to kill their fellow man other than bludgeoning. Knives, swords, spears, bows and arrows became increasingly lethal. As people formed into tribes and city-states, they needed to protect themselves from marauders and from ambitious men in other tribes and city-states. The first armies formed, which were nothing more than gangs of men who would attack and stone and beat each other over issues long forgotten. Over time, armies became more and more professional. Despots could force their will on a neighboring city-state by creating a larger, better-equipped, and better-trained armed band. It wasn't long in human history until shrewd leaders began to create empires of conquered peoples. For protection, people began to build walls around their cities. Military people responded, creating sophisticated machines to batter and breach city walls. Warfare is a brutal business where mercy is seldom shown. Assyrian king Sennacherib describes his sacking of Babylon on an ancient stone from Nineveh. It reads,
"I leveled the cities and its houses from the foundations to the top. I destroyed them and I consumed them with fire. I tore down and removed the outer and inner walls, the temples and the ziggurats built of brick, and dumped the rubble in the Oratu Canal. And after that, I destroyed Babylon, smashed its gods, and massacred its population. I tore up its soil, and I threw it into the Euphrates, so that it was carried by the river down to the sea."
It was only two generations later that Babylon overthrew its conquerors. Their retribution was just as cruel as the Assyrians. For thousands of years, warring armies have faced off against each other, marched in compact battle lines, and crashed into each other, slashing and killing until one side gives way. Cavalry and chariots changed the balance of power, as did bigger and better walls around cities, or a new catapult to batter those walls. But the eventual arms race soon made each new invention obsolete. The creation of the longbow, crossbow, and gunpowder kept raising the stakes. Crude cannons firing a solid shot became giant rifled artillery pieces that could fire high explosives for miles. Single-shot breech-loading rifles became machine guns. Observation balloons became airplanes mounted with machine guns, which became jets carrying enormous payloads of explosives. Missiles and computers made it possible for one person to kill thousands halfway around the world. Gwen Dyer, author and narrator of the PBS series War, makes this astute observation. War has always had an innate tendency to expand to the absolute limit of the resources available to the societies waging it, and sometimes far beyond their capacity to accept punishment. Force is the ultimate argument, and once it has been invoked, the only effective reply is superior force. The internal logic of war has frequently caused it to grow far bigger in scale than the issue originally in dispute would justify. Missiles armed with nuclear warheads can kill tens of millions of people with the push of a button. The results of nuclear war, even on a small scale, are unimaginative. President Ronald Reagan, in an interview in 1983 about the dangerous state of the world, commented, "You know, I turn back to your ancient prophets in the Old Testament and signs for telling Armageddon, and I find myself wondering if we're the generation that's going to see that come about. There have been many times in the past when we thought the world was coming to an end, but never anything like this. Dyer concludes in his book, "Nothing is inevitable until it actually happens, but the final war is undeniably a possibility, and there is one statistical certainty. Any event that has a definite possibility, however small, that does not decrease with time will eventually occur. Next year, next decade, next century, but it will come, including nuclear war." Well, let's see. If we could just convince every nation on Earth to adopt a democratic capitalistic government and economic system, could we finally have peace? If we could get all the religions to work together, could we finally bring peace between nations? You know, according to the Bible, the answer is sadly no. The problems between nations can't be solved until we deal with a problem in human beings themselves. The Apostle James wrote in the New Testament about the problems of people fighting among themselves. He writes in James 4:1, "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members?" Every human being is in a battle for his or her mind and emotions. Why? Why is human nature so violent? Did God make us this way? To find the answer, we have to read the biblical account of the very first war. Now, if you don't have a Bible in front of you, get one and turn to Isaiah 14. We're going to start in verse 12. Here it says, "How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning! How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations! For you have said in your heart, 'I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit in the sides of the mountain of the congregations on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High.'" Lucifer was a very special and powerful angel created by God. Lucifer tried to overthrow the creator of the universe. He was defeated and has been known ever since as the great enemy of God, the one the Bible calls Satan. Satan's nature is violent and destructive. But that still doesn't explain how human beings became so violent. Now, turn with me to a very important passage written by the Apostle Paul to Christians in Ephesians 2, starting in verse 1. He says, "And you made alive," speaking of Christ's sacrifice for the death penalty of human sin, "you who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." This prince of the power of the air is Satan. This is the one element psychologists misunderstand about human development. From very early in a person's life, there's a supernatural being affecting his or her mind to be selfish and violent. Now, I know this sounds like something out of science fiction, but it comes from the pages of your Bible. Let's continue with what Paul writes here in verse 3. "Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." Notice that Paul says, before a Christian becomes changed through a relationship with God, he or she is by nature a person of anger. When God created humanity, he said that it was very good. Our nature has been corrupted, and humanity is hurling itself under Satan's guidance towards Armageddon. Is humanity going to wipe itself off the face of the earth? Are we facing Armageddon? We'll be back to discuss these important questions right after this.
What's the best news you could hear? You've heard the word gospel. It means good news. Jesus Christ brought a message of good news. It's a message about a kingdom. In our free booklet, The Gospel of the Kingdom, you can discover the message Jesus brought. This booklet shows you from the pages of your Bible what that message is and what it means for you. Call 1-800-966-9232. There's no cost or obligation. Call right now. 1-800-966-9232.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
We have with us today a senior writer for the Good News Magazine and pastor for the United Church of God who's been with us a number of times here on Good News Radio, Jerry Ost. Thanks for being with us today, Jerry.
Thank you, Gary. It's a pleasure to be here.
Jerry, our subject today is peace on earth. Now, you've written on peace as an impossible dream. Share with us what you mean by peace, an impossible dream.
Every year from late November through Christmas Day, we hear this phrase invoked, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Yet every single year there is a war going on in some corner of the globe. The phrase is hopeful, but quite frankly, seems downright impossible to achieve. Now, Dutch philosopher Baruch Spinoza said this about peace. Peace is not an absence of war. It's a virtue, a state of mind, a disposition for benevolence, confidence, justice. You know, Spinoza was close to the truth about war and peace. Then in 1951, General Douglas MacArthur made an historic address before a joint session of the United States Congress. Among other important thoughts in that speech, he said this, "Men, since the beginning of time, have sought peace. Military alliances, balances of power, leagues of nations, all in turn failed, leaving the only path to be by way of the crucible of war. We have had our last chance. If we will not devise some greater and more equitable system, our Armageddon will be at our door. The problem is theological and involves an improvement of human character. It must be of the spirit if we are to save the flesh." General MacArthur seemed to understand the underlying problem of humans trying to settle their differences by war. War only breeds more war. This, Gary, is why I referred to human peace as the impossible dream.
Well, on a related subject, something that's in the news constantly, what is your take on the problems in the Middle East? Will the problem there ever settle down so that the Palestinians and Israelis might enjoy some kind of peace?
Well, sadly, I hate to say this. There will continue to be war in the Middle East until God intervenes from on high. Now, that seems like a quantum leap since God hasn't intervened in the Middle East for over 2,000 years, at least in a way that is obviously apparent to many people. Well, except if one allows for the settlement of the Jews in Palestine in 48. There is such an abiding distaste for the Jews among some, not all, of the Palestinian Arabs, that until this is resolved by someone with a strong hand from above, war and terrorism will continue in the Middle East. Now, why is this? Well, for one thing, the Jews see Palestine as the promised land, promised to them by God through the patriarch Abraham. You find that in Genesis 17. Now, the Arabs also see Abraham as our father through Hagar, Sarah's handmaiden. Incidentally, Gary, some years back I talked with Jordanians while touring in Jordan, and they told me, based on the Old Testament, that they too descended from Abraham, only through Ishmael, while the Jews descended from Abraham and Sarah through Isaac. The Bible tells us that Hagar and Ishmael were put away from Abraham by Sarah's word. This is the wound, Gary, that has never healed. Based on the Bible, only the Messiah can settle their differences, and the Jew-Arab conflict will continue until he does.
You know, many historians, and especially Christians, look at the Middle East as unique in their conflicts. Would you say that what is going on, the ongoing wars in the Middle East, are unique in the annals of war, or are they just something, or do they just represent something greater?
You know, Gary, I'm glad you asked that question in that way. The wars in the Middle East are not unique in the sense that they are not the only wars fought on this earth. Remarkably, human history can be viewed as a chronicle of wars. Take a look, if you wanted to, at the book The Dictionary of Wars, and you will be overwhelmed at the number of major wars waged over the past few thousand years. Literally, war has been waged from time immemorial, only to be momentarily punctuated on rare occasions by short periods of peace. Now, with General Douglas MacArthur again in a speech, now this time to the Rainbow Division on July 14, 1935, who, in effect, viewed wars as a chronicle of history. Let me share with you, if you don't mind, Gary, this incredible statistic that MacArthur gave us. He says in the last 3,400 years, this is 1935, the last 3,400 years, only 268 years have been free from wars. Then he went on to say, no wonder that Plato once exclaimed, listen to this, only the dead have seen the end of war. How sad. In addition, the Constitution of UNESCO says this, listen to this, Gary, since wars begin in the minds of men, it is in the minds of men that the defenses of peace must be constructed. I got to ask this question, what kind of reasoning is this? How can humankind that insists on settling its differences by war know how to construct a lasting peace? The point I'm making is this. War is not unique to the Middle East. Although the Bible does say that the final war will be fought in and around Jerusalem.
Well, most Christians, believe that there's going to be some great final war coming that is prophesied in the Bible, and they talk about Armageddon. Do you think Armageddon is the final war mankind will wage?
Well, surprisingly, Gary, Armageddon is undeniably not a final war between nations, and human armies won't engage in battle at Armageddon. Your Bible's clear on this. There will be armies gathered together at Armageddon, to be sure, in the Valley of Megiddo and the greater Valley of Jezreel. Now, I've stood on the Hill of Megiddo, which is what Armageddon literally means, Hill of Megiddo. From there, you can see the larger Valley of Jezreel, together with the Valley of Megiddo, some 20 miles long, 14 miles wide. This is where God will gather, I underscore the word gather, the armies together, manipulated there, as the Bible says in Revelation 16, by lying demons. The Bible does show that Armageddon will serve as a staging area for those Jesus Christ will destroy at his coming. Now, the army of the north, led by the beast and false prophet, will advance on Jerusalem to do battle with the returning Jesus Christ. The army of the east will retreat to Megiddo after the alarming signs that immediately precede Christ's return. Now, Revelation 16 says that God invites them all to Jerusalem. Here it is, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Revelation 19 shows that Christ, representing God Almighty, will wage war on those armies and destroy them all, starting right at Jerusalem. Revelation 14 shows that the blood will run as deep as the horse's bridle in the Valley of Kidron, that's right outside Jerusalem. And Ezekiel 39 says that all of Israel, that's Jews included, will bury the dead from those armies for 7 long months. Armageddon should properly be viewed as the prelude to the great final war between Christ and rebellious human armies at Jerusalem, throughout all of Palestine, and around Megiddo.
Well, we have a lot more to cover, so don't go away. We'll be right back.
Today's headlines are filled with bad news. War, famine, natural disasters, new and baffling diseases, environmental catastrophes, and government scandals. Almost 2,000 years ago, a prophet came bringing a vital message for this world. That prophet was Jesus Christ, and his message was the gospel of the kingdom of God. What was the kingdom of which he spoke, and does it have anything to do with the problems that threaten you and me today? In our free booklet, The Gospel of the Kingdom, you can discover the truth of this surprising message Jesus Christ brought. It is more relevant to you than you might think. Call 1-800-966-9232. There is no cost or obligation. Call right now for your free copy. 1-800-966-9232. Are you tired of hearing nothing but bad news? Well, here's some good news. You can receive a year's subscription to the Good News Magazine absolutely free. The Good News Magazine isn't a Pollyannish cover-up of today's problems. It is a magazine that dares to look at today's problems and ask the questions that must be asked. The Good News seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered in the pages of your Bible. Today's radio program is sponsored by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. Your free subscription to the Good News has already been paid. You will never be sent a bill or be obligated in any way. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232 for your free subscription to the good news behind the headlines.
In the last segment, we learned that Armageddon precedes God's battle with human armies at Jerusalem. We're talking with Jerry Ost. What does the Bible say about why human beings are driven to war?
Well, beyond argument, Gary, Satan is the well-hidden force behind all human wars. Christ called Satan the father of all liars and a murderer from the beginning. Satan's avowed purpose is to destroy all human life from this earth because Satan knows that God is remaking human beings so that one day we can be changed into spirit essence, become a part of the God family. That's a strange concept to a lot of Christians, but it wasn't strange to God, his prophets and apostles. It wasn't strange to the psalmist in Psalm 82, verse 6. He states plainly that we are to become gods. It wasn't strange to the Apostle Paul, who confirmed we're destined to become sons of God. Let me read that. Beloved, now we are children of God. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Satan knows God's plan to reproduce himself through humankind. He knows that our physical state is a training ground for our eternal spiritual state. Since Satan can't overthrow God, he can influence mankind to destroy itself through many wars. He reasons that if he can get mankind to destroy himself, then he can foil God's plan to increase his family. That is the key to why human beings and whole nations war against each other. Bottom line, Satan is the force behind all human wars, including Armageddon.
You know, this sounds pretty gloomy for mankind. Is there really any hope for lasting peace? Is a lasting peace on earth an impossible dream?
No, it isn't. And yes, there is a lot of hope. God, through his word, the Bible, guarantees mankind peace on earth, and no one can stop it. Every Christmas season, we hear the phrase, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward man. I think a better way to say this is, and on earth, peace, God's will toward men. Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, encouraged his apostles with these words on peace. John 14, he said, peace I leave with you. My peace, not the world's, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give it to you. So Christ's peace is very different from man's peace. The Bible tells us that God shares his peace with us through the gift of the Holy Spirit and his truth. King David adds another key to the way of peace. He said, great peace have they who love your law. Nothing shall offend them. So with the gift of God's Spirit, we can keep God's laws, spiritual laws, that are specifically designed to provide humankind lasting peace. God guarantees his peace. He does this through a resurrected and living Christ. Notice Isaiah's assurance of Christ's gift of peace to mankind. He shall judge the nations and shall rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. That's in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4. A lasting peace is not at all impossible. Rather, it is absolutely guaranteed to come to this earth. As God has promised, a lasting peace will be given humankind by way of the coming Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ.
Well, once again, thanks for being with us on the program, Jerry, and we hope to have you back soon.
Thank you very much, Gary.
In the 1400s B.C., Egyptian pharaoh Thutmose III marched his army towards the east to subdue rebellious vassal states. His army was the most modern of the day. Egyptian infantry was supported by archers, cavalry, and chariots. He marched his army into the valley of Megiddo, Armageddon. No one knows for sure what happened. Probably one morning, the Egyptian army entered the valley and faced off against the ranks of the enemy. The two sides slammed into each other, with thousands of men slashing and stabbing until the enemy lines broke and the slaughter began. All history really tells us is that Thutmose III returned home victorious from his Armageddon. There is another future battle to be fought around the Valley of Megiddo. Jesus Christ is returning to establish his Father's kingdom on this earth. Fortunately, for our own good, humanity will lose this battle. Why were you born? There's a big difference between grasping the future God wants for you and simply going on the way you have been. The choice is up to you. Join us next time when we continue to explore what the Bible really says about you and your future. For Good News Radio, I'm Gary Petty.
What's the best news you could hear? You've heard the word gospel. It means good news. Jesus Christ brought a message of good news. It's a message about a kingdom. In our free booklet, The Gospel of the Kingdom, you can discover the message Jesus brought. This booklet shows you from the pages of your Bible what that message is and what it means for you. Call 1-800-966-9232. There's no cost or obligation. Call right now. 1-800-966-9232.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org. You've been listening to the Good News Radio program, presented by the publishers of the Good News magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.